What's up, guys? I'm your host, Chris Johnson, and we're back with another episode of Just Win, Unlocking Your Mental Power. And I have a very special guest today, Todd. Todd is one of somebody in California that I've met over the years through developing basketball business, the business of working with kids, and just in general, being an amazing human being. And to this day, I call him friend. I call him a father because I watch him be a father. He's a business partner and is someone I really trust. But he has a unique story. And just because he smiles and he's really polite, does a great job with business, doesn't mean he doesn't have to face challenges like we all do as everyday people. And so we want to thank you for coming on the show.
Nah, thank you for having me, brother. Appreciate you.
And we want to tell you a story. And I like to start because everybody has a lot of chapters in this story. I want to start with one of your babies, Court Prep. And if you guys don't know about Court Prep and you're here in the state of California, then you got to do your research because you've figured out how to create something for student athletes that helps in the most critical point in their life, middle school. The most critical point. That's almost the throwaway point between elementary and high school because you're still figuring out who you are. So let's talk about CORE.
Yeah, CORE, it's been a 25% of my life. You know, I've had it for 10 years. I'm going on 40. Mm-hmm. The impact of it goes beyond business, beyond personal relationships. When we started 10 years ago, I was fulfilling a need for a kid that I was training at the time, Johnny Juzang, who's now in the Utah Jazz.
Shout out to Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Court Prep alum.
He started Court Prep. I let people know he started Court Prep. He was my first signed up student. His dad, Maxie, approached me about creating a program where he was able to develop during the school day. And I was like, I can do that. I'm only trained after school, you know, Absolutely. As a developer. And so we, you know, he told me, hey, put a program together. I was like, I can watch him do his school. We started as a homeschool program that first year. And that was our first and only year to be in the homeschool. So
that's a pivot.
Yeah.
That's a pivot. But that's who you are. That's who you are as a person. Your ability to look at the puzzle and say, oh, I can do that away. You know there's the other side of that, right? It's people that can look at the puzzle and just be like, I can't do it. No. Like, I don't even know what to do. I don't have the mental capacity to be able to do it. And Johnny had a great career.
Absolutely.
He did make McDonald's All-American because he skipped out on his senior year.
Yep. Went on ahead, went to Kentucky. Kentucky, Kansas, and Virginia were all offering him mm-hmm. to be reclassed, and you know they would take him, and he chose Kentucky. And it was, I think, it was a great experience for him.
Right,
he got hit in his head. He got a wake up call when he was like, "High school is too easy. I want to develop and get to the next level," and that's why he made that jump. And him doing that, he got a taste of the real world, and it was great for him. And then that following year was COVID, so he got to come home. Yep, he got that waiver. He went to UCLA, had two great years at UCLA. And
man, adversity is needed.
Yeah.
Adversity is needed in life. And I know we're not here to talk about him, but that adversity at that moment in his life is why he was able to overcome even being in the NBA, being on a two-way, being in the G League, to being fully an NBA player.
Yep, 100%. That's what's right. He is a testament to him and just the hard work. And I actually had his brother on my podcast yesterday, and I said, hey, when did you know that Johnny was going to be a pro? And he said, it was the year he was in CORE. He said, because Johnny fell in love with the process. Mm. And that's always been our goal, is say, hey, if you want to do anything in life, that first year we had 8 kids. All of those 8 kids are very successful in life. And they all don't still play basketball, but they're all successful because we taught them, hey, if you want to do something, you got to grind. You got to put the extra work in every single day. And that's what we create with CORE, is that not only do we work on your basketball skills, we do a life skills program inside of. We have the performance training, keeping health, nutrition, financial literacy, all these other things to enrich your experience as a man or a woman. You know, we have girls in our program now too. So that's always been the goal, is to invest into these kids and be a mentor to these kids and be there through their journey. I'm here for middle school, right? I'm known as the middle school guy, but I've been on the court with the greatest players in the world, with Chris. But I'm known as the middle school guy, and I love that space. I love in that moment where they're going through puberty, life's hitting them in the face. I've been there before, and I was able to navigate it and come out clean.
I've seen your impact personally, the way the kids, as they get to sophomore, junior high school, I've seen how they gravitate to you. And you can see the bond. You can see the connection. You can see that it's bigger than sports. And, you know, in that process, you have to be hard on these guys. Because in middle school, you don't know who you are.
Yep.
What is that like? And how do you get prepared every day mentally to be ready to give to kids in that pivot, in that period of their life?
It's my gift. I think that's that my purpose is, to be that person they can relate to, but that stern person to keep them guided on their journey. I think my mom did a good job of that with me. And so now I'm able to do it with kids. It's literally kind of second nature at this point. Going back to Johnny, it's funny. The first day we were in core, he cried. I don't know if he remembers this, and it wasn't a bad thing. I was on his head. Like, hey, you really want to get ready? You really want to get to that next level? You got to go at this. And he was frustrated. It was a frustration cry, like anger, because he's like, yo, why is he being so tough on me? Because before, I was his cool trainer. You know, we just doing drills and all that. But like, hey, this is a serious program. We're going to take this to the next level. Mm. And, you know, I talked with his parents, said, you know, why, you know, make sure there's a balance. And I had to learn, right? Because I was probably too tough on him that day. But he called me back when he was at Kentucky and said, Coach, I remember I was driving down the 405 freeway right over the hill. And he said, Coach, I know what you were talking about that day in core when I cried. I get it now, because I'm going through it. And it was like full circle moment. I might have teared up a little bit. So he got his cry back on me.
Right.
but that was the full circle moment. Like, you know, I did.
You know, that's unbelievable, because I've been in this industry so long that when you have kids that have potential talent, people tend to babysit them.
Man.
And kudos go to you for not being afraid to challenge a kid where he was to become better without being worried if his parents are going to pull him or he's going to leave and go to the next trainer, coach, or school at the time. That impact for him is probably what he needed. And throughout his life, whatever challenges that he go through, he can always pull from that experience.
No, absolutely. I think parents want an extension of their household. And in the Valley specifically, these parents are first generation wealthy. Mm-hmm. They created their own wealth through their hard work. And they try to give their kids a life that they didn't have, where they had to grind and figure it out and have this chip on their shoulder. So for me, it was always my job to create this chip. You know, Johnny's parents did well for themselves. Yeah. One was an entrepreneur, one's a financial advisor. So I had to create a chip on his shoulder, because there's some dude in the hood, the KDs of the world, trying to get their mama out the hood, right?
Right.
And so how do we match that mindset and work ethic coming at it? And I think that's what we provided the parents. 97% of the parents fully trusted our staff to develop that in them, like be tough on them.
So if I get this right, you're dealing with affluent kids. And the knock on affluent kids is that they're not mentally tough.
Yep, they're soft.
They're not mentally tough.
Yep.
This is the most underrated statement that I've ever seen in basketball or sports. And over the years, for me, I realized that toughness doesn't mean you come from the hood,
right,
or an abuse situation, or a situation where you have to fight every day. That's not toughness. That creates different parts of endurance, but it doesn't make you tough. I look at guys, shout out to Steph Curry, two-parent household. To me, he's one of the toughest guys in the NBA,
yep,
mentally. If you look at him physically, he may not pass that test, but his mental is there. I have so many players that come from affluent households that the notion of you have to be from Chicago or you have to be from the inner city to be tough is went away. So when guys are like recruiters or people that are in the league or professional scouts, they come to me and say, man, he's tough, he's from the inner city. I realize that you bought into the stigma. And that's amazing that you're able to instill this mental skill set into these affluent players that come from having a roof over their head, a two-parent household, and good living conditions and family.
Yeah.
What kind of system do you have in place? Because I think it's a lot of kids that need this system in the middle school right now. And they need to be able to find you. They need to get the system in place and understand what you're doing. Let's talk about that.
So it has definitely progressed over the years, right? Before we were just training, skills. You know, heavy on the skills, strength and conditioning, mm-hmm. making you run till you throw up, kind of what we did in junior college, right? Me and Travis at the time, Travis was my assistant coach at the time, man. And he's, you know, he went to junior college in Florida where all it was all about getting in shape. Nothing else really mattered. And so we just used to run them into the ground, and then we started seeing injuries. We started seeing them mentally break down, and we had to take a step back. And that's when we adjusted from that homeschool model, and then we partnered with the school to have them in a traditional classroom setting, a traditional social setting, because they're still young. They're still being molded. So having that holistic approach to their development was very important. And then we came in with the curriculum. And so through the years, we had stuff that we did, and then it was when I met you. Right. It was when we adapted that curriculum.
The curriculum system.
That for the basketball part, right? And so now we know what we're doing when we step into the gym every day. Mm. The mindset piece comes from the competitive environment. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is a competition. You are fighting for your life because I had, hey, Johnny Juzang came in here and worked. You don't think you gonna work?
Yeah.
Like, what you think this is? Like, and he's number, you know, top 10 in the country pretty much his whole high school career. So, and then we had Sky Clark come in, mm-hmm. top kid, like, hey, that's who you're going to catch. And so that's what was created, because I didn't show favoritism, but I showed a little more attention to those kids who worked harder. So absolutely. The kids can want that. It's like, oh, because they want attention from Coach Todd. They want attention from coaches. And so I would show the kids who working. Oh, man, he's doing it. He's doing it right.
I just was talking about this with Corey. As a coach, parents would say, you got a favorite player. And I said, I do.
100%.
You want me to tell you what he looked like? Because I can tell you, he actually don't have a face. Or she don't have a face. It's actually these characteristics. So I do have a favorite player.
Yeah.
Show up early. Show up ready. Show up where you're willing to learn. Because we're all learning. Commit to yourself. Commit to your team. And enjoy the journey. Like, it's. That's the kid. You can go, and that formula is what I look for now when we're in pre-draft.
Yep.
When I get pro guys, NBA, overseas, everywhere. I choose my client too. My clients don't get to just choose me, because if you're a guy that is not bought in to the characteristics, we're not going to get along.
Right.
And, you know, you may go and have something bad to say about me, but if really and truly you want to go where you need to go, I'm going to hold you accountable to it. I'm going to make you get up. I'm going to make you stick to the routine, the system.
Yep.
because the system's proven. You can go and work with someone that don't have a system and it's not proven, and now you're gambling your future.
Right.
When you can come see a system approach holistic that cares about what you're doing tonight, that cares about if you're taking care of your body, if you're treating your mom right, your parents right, the people around you. Yeah, we care. And so that approach is what you're giving to kids in the middle school,
yep.
Which is amazing. Now, the parents.
My favorite people.
I'm a parent.
Yeah.
You're a parent. So I put on different hats. And, man, this year, even with my son, watching him play on his team, high school, AAU, I watched the parents. And some of the parents just don't have our experience in the sport. That doesn't mean they don't know what they're talking about. But every parent holds the people that teach, train, develop, and build their kids to a higher standard than what they hold themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like dealing with these type of parents at that important stage of their kid's life?
I do a lot of parent education. I start off with, hey, this is what we do. At this point, we have a very proven product. It the results, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Right. Like, you see the results. Our alumni speak for itself. You even talk about the colleges they're at. Look at the high schools they're going to and what they're accomplishing at these high schools, right? And beyond. And so I start with that. I literally have a parent communication guide where I talk about, parent, this is how you communicate with your child during athletic play. I'm not telling you what you do at home, but during athletic play, how you communicate with the coach. Don't go run up on them right after the game. That's not productive. How the teammates need to communicate, how the kid communicates with the kid, and how the coach and the kid need to communicate. And it is broken down to the five principles of communication. And so, you know, just how our tone, what we're speaking about. Don't lock your kid in the car and
right.
talk to him after the game about the shot he should have shot. There's a way to do that. And so I give them tools to use so they can be more effective with their communication. Talking to a camera. Get yourself a little video camera. I mean, your phone, whatever it is.
And watch and, your playback.
And as you're recording, how come you didn't shoot that shot? Hey, I want you to be more aggressive right there. Just talking to the camera. You don't got to yell it to the court because his coach is telling him something different. That's probably why he's not doing it. So when you play that video back for him, he can understand, like, okay, hey, I wanted you to be more aggressive. How can you shoot that shot? Coach told us to run the clock down. Now you can have a conversation about it. It's not you yelling at him and your authority. You know, if you don't yell during the games, but if you yell during the game, Isaiah going to listen to you.
For sure.
Because you're his father.
Right.
And that's what I tell parents, like, do you want me to coach? And
there's
an extreme. It's the pre-education, and there's the extreme. Like, hey, what do you do for a living? I'm a doctor. Okay. Hey, I don't go and tell you how to operate on the table. So please let me coach him.
You know what I used to do? I have a parent practice. Parents, male and female, bring your shoes. Bring your hoop and stuff. We start with ball handling. None of the parents can dribble. Even the parents that said they hoop 15 years ago, 20. You know, when we grew up, the internet wasn't around. So people lied about their stats. Or they lied about what they did from an athletic standpoint. You're lying. So now the kids are watching their parents dribble a basketball. They can't do a dribbling drill. Miss every layup, can't jump. Hey, let's just shoot a free throw, because you hear parents say, hey, man, hold your follow through. Hey, why you didn't hold your follow through? No. So that came up with my strategy of what every player needs a coach. Every coach needs a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Every parent needs a coach. I need a life coach. I am a life coach. You need a coach. We talk all the time. Everybody needs to be coached.
Right.
So parents, stop interrupting the failure process in sports. Because what you do is you take away from the experience and the knowledge that they gain from failing. The way you think it should be played is only predicated on the end results. Scholarship, professional. What the program Coach Todd has in place is developed on winning the day.
Yep.
And when you stack days and you continue to stack days, you will get to where you have to go. But that's one of my parent things. And when parents realize that they can't demonstrate or even come close to what we're asking a kid to do, the kid needs some leeway and needs an opportunity to develop.
Yep.
We've lost the development process. I've lost clients that don't want to really develop. They've speedballed through. They find themselves out of the league. They find themselves fighting for their life. Then they want to come and call and come back. And even with me having a big heart and loving people first, I have to evaluate the situation to see now, is that even beneficial for me?
Right.
To take on everything that they have, because I have another guy over here that's already willingly submitted to excellence, to getting better.
Yep.
You take a guy like Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson is like my newer version I like to use. I don't know if this fourth or fifth year for him. He's never taken a break during All-Star break. He always flies in. He always gets his 4 days in, 2 days. When the season has ended, he flies in the next week, and we begin. And he gives me a full opportunity to develop him, because I can put him through the different stages of development. Because right after the season, his body's sore, he needs recovery. So we don't even have him in the full package. We have him into the system of refining,
yeah,
and taking the necessary time to build habits. And by the time we get into June, he's ready to go and he pushed through. And so he's one of the newer guys that I'm like, hey, you need to be on that Jalen Johnson package,
mm-hmm,
because of his ability to allow himself to be coached and his ability to want greatness. And so that's great. So with parents and the education through sports, do you educate them about how to handle high school and high school coaches and high school academics?
That's become probably one of the primary things I do now, is help them get to a high school where they fit the culture. And they're going to be developed, continue to develop like they were in core, based on how the coach is, based on the resources at the school, based on the resources they're going to get to even attend some of these schools. You know, some of these schools are $50,000.
Right.
Thank God we've had enough success where they know if they're getting a kid who came from core that they're worth maybe, you know, giving some financial aid. Absolutely. To and all those things. But we go through a process. They have an assessment. So what I tell them is I teach them how to do it. Go to the school. There's five categories you look at when you go to the school. Okay, you're looking at the academics, of course. You're looking at the environment. You're looking at the resources they have outside of that. You're looking for the social life. And then you're looking for the security of the school, right? We just live in a day and age where that matters.
No, absolutely.
And so those five things, and you assess it. That's just looking at the school. And now you go, I want you to go to three practices. Hey, are the assistant coaches engaged? Are they on their phone? Is there basketballs laying all around the gym? How clean is it? Is the coach, the head coach, is he speaking to your kid in a way that you're okay with? Now go to a game. I want you to sit right behind the bench. I want you to be in every huddle. I want you to see how engaged the person on the end of the bench is. I want to see how accountable the best player is being held to. I want you to see how the coach is interacting with the refs. I want you to see how he's interacting with the kids. Is this an environment you want your son in? So there's been a lot of kids who are like, oh, I ain't going there no more after, right, they see that. But there's other ones like, oh, I actually like this style. This fits my kid. And so I walked them through that whole process.
That's a good process, Ty. That process is actually, we should make, you and I should sit down and make that process from transitioning from high school to college, because that's the process that I put my son through. He had all these colleges.
Yes, yeah, so I did that with Braden Burry's. So Braden Burry, same thing.
Yeah.
I took what I did for high school, and there's a PDF. And when you get to college, it's even more in-depth. I actually got it from Johnny Zad. When we were choosing between Virginia, Kentucky, Kansas, we made that. Hey, what's the food like? How far is the gym from your dorm? What is it? Are you going to be distracted by the women or the parties that are at the school?
Like, absolutely.
To the detail.
And watching the coach, because I am a routine guy. So a lot of guys are choosing school based on financial.
Yeah.
Right? And that sometimes lands them, not all the time, but it lands them in a very bad situation on the court, because they didn't expect this guy to, like, wig out. They didn't expect. If you study the coach, like you said, get behind the bench, go to the college game, watch the huddle. Matter of fact, for me, I took the last 5 years. I'll look at the last 10 years of how you handle particular players.
Yep.
You don't have to tell me in an interview who you are. You can just go watch you and I can see who you are.
Right.
And so the way you coach the players, the way the players attract to you, like when someone sees someone they really like, you could just see it like, dang, they had an impact on their life. Wow. Yeah. So I really like that strategy and system. And if you don't get educated by Todd's system, create your own system. Or contact us and we can mentor you and coach you through your system. And we can educate you, because our job is to be a part of these men and women journey. You can't dominate the journey. You're just only a part of the journey.
Man.
And when I figured that out, I figured out quick, early, because I was always looking around and, like, when playing college ball, right? And I was like, as a point guard, I was the coach's favorite. But I knew why I was going to be the coach's favorite.
Right.
I was defensive player of the year, 3 years in a row. I worked hard. I trained. I developed. In college, I may have averaged, I think at the most, 14 points a game in college. In high school, I averaged 24 points a game.
We gonna Google it, or are you too old?
No, I think you can Google me. I think you Google it. But 14
in college is
a lot for running a team.
For sure.
And but I hung my hat in college from a defensive standpoint.
Yep.
I was defensive player of the year, and I became the coach's favorite. And so I talked to players about becoming the coach's favorite. And the favorite is not just someone that can score the bucket. The favorite is someone that is aligning himself with the leadership that he's around or she's around every day. There's so much happens. There's so much win to aligning yourself and being unique, but being in the expectations.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my last question for you, Todd, is talking about the transition and how big of a transition it is from middle school to high school. And when the kids get to high school, do you disconnect or do you stay connected?
Yeah, that transition is, I tell everybody it starts over, right? We probably had top-ranked kids in our program in middle school. I don't understand middle school rankings at all, but top-ranked middle school kids almost every year.
Every
year, from Johnny, Sky, Elijah, whoever, like, it's just always been the top kids. And I tell them, I said, it starts over in high school. Right. You go back down to zero. Like, you starting over. Now, some of you might have more attention on you than other kids, but the rankings start over. And you're going to be the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
And so you have to do the same thing you did here and just continue that work and prove yourself and do what you fill your role. I'm working with the kid right now who is going to go to one of the top high schools here, and he is the prototype kid for that high school, like to be in a major role. I said, hey, I ain't doing no more crossover dribbles. I said, everything we do from now until June, when you start high school, is scoring without dribbling. Because when you go to that school, they're too good for you to dribble. Mm. They got three guards who
are. That's a hard conversation to have, first of all.
Yeah.
It is. That's not saying you don't do dribbling drills, but that's saying understand how to be a star in your role.
Yep. You want to play varsity, this is what's going to take.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean don't work on it.
Right, absolutely not. We still do our warm-up ball handling. He still gets that work. Moves to the basket are all, you get one dribble sometimes.
Well, I mean, Todd, the most that in a basketball game, to be honest with you, the most that you can utilize in dribbling in the half court, because you don't count the initiation of the offense.
Right.
It's three dribbles max.
Yeah.
If when I'm watching high school games, I'm dying. I laugh at the coach, the player, the ref, the parents, the comments. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, my God, they don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. And it's so disappointing to not understand the efficiency of being able to score with no dribble.
Yeah.
To score with one dribble. Score with two dribbles and maximum three. That's how I develop. And you're doing them a great favor. That doesn't mean not to do your dribbling drills.
Right.
Because you need your handle on point. Big men, little men, all players all in the sport.
Dribbling is part of
dribbling
basketball.
Dribbling drills are necessary, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to dribble 10 times to get your shot off in the game. Right. Not even the best players do that.
Right.
And I think that's what something, when people watch my son, he's a bucket. But he's a pure point guard. And they're like, man, he's passing, he's running the team. I said, no, he's efficient. He can just go right to the spot.
Yep.
And so it changes his game because now he can literally play on the court with players that are better than him. He can play with players that are at his level. And he can play in a league that every player had been the man. That's how I've been developing him, mm-hmm. to be efficient.
Yep.
So it's unbelievable that you're able to challenge that kid with being a star in his role, because that is an arc that is lost in high school sports. You win together, you lose together, you become a star in your role, you look very good. But when you have everybody thinking that you have to do this, you have to do that, it makes the team look like it's not put together right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that influence is coming from parents first.
Yeah. I had to get the dad on board. I told him first.
Yeah, you start with the parent.
I said, hey, this is what we're doing because this is the school he's going to and you want him to have opportunity to play varsity. If he does these things, he'll have a shot.
Yes.
Not even know it. He'll have a shot to do it. He might still be JV. He'll have a shot. And they both accepted. I said, no more AAU. For what? Because it's just bad basketball.
Right.
You're going to end up doing all the stuff we're not working on. I said, we're just going to be in the gym, and we're just going to be in spaces where you have to play like where you're going to be. And going back to the question, that transition to high school, you start over, but you carry over.
Okay.
All those little details that you learn in middle school that we teach is real basketball, right? And it gets a little messed up with AAU and the free style of play. And then preparing for the level of high school basketball in California, where it's super tough.
It's super tough.
And then now you start over. That sophomore year is the toughest year.
Yeah.
Because the kids that we normally have are really good. They're talented enough, athletic enough to play major minutes on a varsity team, but they don't have enough experience.
Mm.
And the coach is going to pick a guy who he trusts, who's running his system, a senior who's not as talented sometimes, not as athletic sometimes, but knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. We talked about it earlier, being the coach's favorite. And so they get stuck their sophomore year like, I should be playing over him. Just be patient.
Yeah.
Waste your time.
Yeah, we had to wait. This is something, and I just picked it up from just listening you speak. We hold, and I want to know your opinion on this, we hold the high school coach to a higher standard then we hold the AAU coach.
Oh, man.
And the only reason I bring this up is because I'm listening to parents. As a parent, hold a coach to a standard that the coach only has a very small season with them. It takes coaching from everyone in your life, from when you're little, mm-hmm. all the way up. So if a kid has a low basketball IQ, they go back to the first teacher. It doesn't hang the hat on the high school coach.
Right.
That your kid has a low basketball IQ. It doesn't hang the hat on the AAU coach. It hangs the hat on if that player decides to become a student of the game. And the more they become a student of the game, the more effective play they will have, and they will learn how to use the skill set in a live game situation. This is missed because people say, man, that coach is terrible. Well, who was the coach before him? What about before him? Mm-hmm. What about before him?
What situations did you put your kid in?
So he can develop and fail.
Yeah.
And so that just sparked right to my brain and said, whoa, we do hold these high school coaches to a different standard.
Yeah.
But it's really a collective of putting your kids around people that can educate them about how to execute and positioning and not being out of position. And a lot of times starting and coming off the bench and minute distribution is based off of the IQ of the player. I don't have to be the fastest. I don't have to jump the highest. I just be in the right position. I understand the team scheme. I know when to shoot. I know when to pass. I know when to finish. I understand the grand scheme of things. High school players struggle with this, and the parents don't have a clue.
Nope.
That just was sparked from it, man. Look, T, we can go on forever. I want you guys to get an opportunity to see someone that has developed a business that is so important to kids' life, female, male, in from the middle school perspective. And if you're in California, in the Valley, you definitely should talk to him when it comes to that portion of your kid's life, because you're an expert. And him being partnered in with high schools mean that your kids get the same education. They're not homeschooled anymore. You're partnered in with schools.
Yep.
That they go to the actual school. Yep. And CORE is an extracurriculum activity or program that is attached to the school.
Yeah, we supplement the PE in an elective class. So.
Yep. And PE normally in middle school is doing, you know,
frisbees and hula hoops. Yeah.
And so if you want to really get your kid prepared for high school, CORE prep is the way to go.
Absolutely. And we offer all sports. Our main focus has been basketball. But
your program has grown.
Oh, man. Yeah, we have over 270 kids in a program through all of our locations.
Congratulations, my brother. How do you handle that? Mentally, how do you prepare mentally, for man, all
I,
that?
I hire people who are better than me. I'm a big believer in having a strong team, and so my coaches for their sport, most of them are dads themselves, so that responsibility and nurturing piece is there, and I work for them. That's what I tell them, like, hey, you run baseball, I work for you. You tell me what you need. You know, there's some standards that we live by and we go by, but my team is amazing. Like, they are operating right now with me being on this podcast, and I have full faith that they're doing not only what I could do, but probably better.
Right.
And that's what it's been about, is just empowering other people to in leadership roles and true leadership. Developing them.
Yep. True leadership. Well, guys, listen, it's been another great episode of Just Win. Todd, you want to tell them where to follow you at? And we'll put all of his tags down in the description. But for you guys that are watching right now, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Todd Has a Plan. And same thing on TikTok.
Todd does have a plan.
I do have a plan.
He does have the plan. He does. Todd has a plan on TikTok and Instagram.
Yes, and in our YouTube, we have a podcast as well called Elevate Your Game. And
so Elevate Your Game.
Go to Elevate Your Game on YouTube, and we have a show. Chris is on there. Chris is one of the first guests on the show, so you can check him out from season one. We're going on our third season, actually. It's been, it's been a minute.
It's a journey.
It's awesome.
So you follow Todd there. Make sure, if you haven't done it yet, make sure you hit that little bell that's in the corner and turn on your post notifications so that every time we post, you get an opportunity to connect with our community here at Just Win, Just Hoop, and our whole community that we're building. Drop your comments below. If you'd like to see somebody on the show or someone needs one-on-one coaching, you can go to justhooptraining.com and click on one-on-one mentorship coaching with me. I'm happy to coach you as a parent, business person, player, doesn't matter the hat that you wear. I have a system in place that can coach you and help you get mentally prepared for it. It's been another episode. We out. Peace.